for his goodness towards us. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I see everybody about like Daniel, fair and fatter of flesh, amen, all that turkey we ate Thursday. You know, probably you did, don't kill the spirit, amen, but you know how we do. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's where we're going to start this morning. And this is a topical lesson. I normally like to try to do expository. Just take a passage of Scripture or a book of the Bible and just go through it and teach. It's been kind of difficult this year because we've been gone so much. And when you're skipping Sundays, it's just nearly impossible to do something like that. But you know what? Topical messages, they have replaced too, right? So, and the pastor preached Sunday night, and that was a very good message. You just kind of don't get messages like that everywhere you go. And he was talking about studying and rightly dividing the word of truth, and that's what we should do. And so he mentioned a couple things, and I had some lessons prepared about them. I don't know that I've taught this here, but he mentioned baptism, and he mentioned the gospel. And your average Baptist, when you mention baptism, their mind automatically jumps toward baptism. And that's all right. It's an ordinance of the church. Right? It's an ordinance of the church. The Lord's Supper and water baptism are two ordinances of the church that we should, as Bible-believing, born-again Christians, should take part in. That's all right. But every time you see baptism in your Bible, it's not talking about water. And if you don't understand that, these people that say otherwise and these cults and these heresies, they can back you in a corner with your own words, with what you believe about the Bible. And it shouldn't be that way, because we know this Bible is truth. One of them was baptism, the other was the gospel. And we think of the gospel and the soul-saving gospel right now is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But every time you see gospel in your Bible, that word means good news, glad tidings. It does not mean the death, burial, and resurrection. The same thing. If we don't let God say what He says in His book, when we try to help people and try to lead people, those people that are contrary and are wrong can back us into a corner with our own words. And it just shouldn't be that way. So this morning I got a lesson prepared on the seven baptisms in the Bible. And there are seven baptisms in your Bible. Baptize means to immerse. Get them under the water, man. Some folks sprinkle, help yourself. Some folks baptize babies and think they need that somehow to get them into heaven. Someone that doesn't know right from wrong, when they die, they're going to heaven anyway. That's what Romans chapter 2 says. That's what Romans chapter 5 says. Sin is not imputed where there is no knowledge. That little baby, they don't know right from wrong. They don't. Now, that doesn't affect you and I. Because we grown people and we know, right? We're accountable. But baptism means to immerse. Most Christians only think of water when the word baptized is mentioned, but there are seven in the Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God. We're going to take just a few minutes here and go through the seven baptisms. Take some notes. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. Get with the pastor after church, and he will be glad to help you out. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 is where we're going to start. This is the first baptism. Look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." So this is the Apostle Paul writing. And we know the nation Israel, they passed through the Red Sea. They wasn't ankle deep like what some people say. It was through the water. God split that sea and they walked through on dry ground, the Bible says. They didn't come out muddy on the other side. Dry ground. Verse number 2. "And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The baptism, this first baptism, is the baptism of Israel unto Moses. Israel crossed through that Red Sea. We're going to read here in Exodus chapter 14 is where we're going to turn. They were at the Red Sea. Egyptians were coming behind them, going to kill them up. So that cloud got between the Egyptians and between the Israelites. And Moses held that rod out and God parted that sea. And this verse of scripture here says that they passed under the cloud and through the sea. So that sea was split, and it was obviously some kind of foamy, misty thing where God had split that sea and it passed under that cloud. That is not the pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud was behind them, between them and the Egyptians, right? So this is baptism unto Moses. They passed through that sea. Turn to Exodus chapter number 14. We're going to come back here, but turn to Exodus 14. And we know we study the scriptures in context, right? There is a historical context. Things actually happen, and we can gain spiritual insights from things that actually happen, but you have to be careful trying to spiritualize everything. If something happened, it happened, man. Jesus is not a good thought or idea. He was a man and he died. Right? Jonah was an actual man. That's not some kind of picture, just some kind of picture or some kind of type. He was in the belly of the whale. Amen. These things actually happen. Look here in Exodus 14. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. An actual historical account. Moses stretched that rod out. God split that sea. The nation Israel went through. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Flip back there with me. You should have held your place there. And the Bible says they were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. This is the baptism unto Moses. They were immersed under that, right? And like a little dry air bubble. I just come up with that. Dry air bubble. You won't find that in your commentary, amen? So let's look here at verse number 3. The Bible says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat? Now, we know they ate manna from heaven, right? But that's a type. What's it a type of? Jesus Christ. The bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. That bread came down from heaven, that manna, right? It was a real thing. There's a spiritual meaning behind it. Look what it says in verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now we know Moses, the first time he spoke to that rock, and it gushed forth water. Second time he smote it, and it gushed forth water. But it was an actual event. They drank literal physical water out of that rock. And the Bible says that rock was Christ. Jesus said, I am the water of what? I'm the water of life. It's a type there, right? So this baptism, them escaping, them getting through, there's a spiritual meaning behind that. The nation of Israel is going to come through Christ, just like you and I, if they're going to get in. There's going to come a day when there's going to be a national repentance all in one day, but now as we speak, the only way someone can be saved is through the gospel. Right. And some people believe that salvation is not different than testaments. Man, help yourself. But this baptism here, you know what it was? It was a type. You ain't never been saved by a type. There are types in your Bible. There are shadows in your Bible. There are things in the Old Testament we can see that foreshadow New Testament truths. And we're looking back on many of these things, right? It's easy to see, right? But these types, you're not saved by a type. You're not saved by believing in a type of Christ. You are saved by believing in Jesus Christ, the man. That's how the Bible works. And people get on types and they get on shadows and schisms and isms. And if you're not careful, you'll have yourself out in right field thinking that if you don't get baptized in water, you can't go home to heaven. And it's false doctrine. It's an ordinance. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you should be baptized in water. But we're going to see in a minute, it's after salvation, not for salvation. First baptism, the baptism of Israel unto Moses. Turn to Matthew chapter number 3. Now this is actually the first time that Matthew chapter 3 is the first time baptism, the word, or baptized is mentioned in your Bible. And we know many times, if you're wondering what a word, the definition, meaning of it is, many times. Some people call it a law. I don't know that it's a law, but I know it's there. It's a rule. You can look the first time it's mentioned in your Bible, and God lays that thing out, a definition for you. He just knew he needed that, right? I read Webster's 1828 sometime. He puts verses of Scripture as definitions, but you know what? If you don't know what something means, then go to the Bible first, right? So look at Matthew chapter number 3. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So the second baptism, the first one was the baptism of Israel unto Moses. The second one is John's baptism to manifest Christ to Israel. That's the second baptism. He said, I baptize you with water, is what he said, right? And he was out in the wilderness and he was laying them down. Yeah. He was putting them under that water, all that would come to him for repentance. And it was soldiers and it was tax collectors. And if them old Pharisees are getting the water and repent, he'd lay them under. He was putting them under because when he baptized Jesus Christ, the Bible says straightway he came up out of the water. Either he floated up in the air or he was under that water and came up out of it, right? That's what baptism is, immersion. John's baptism to manifest Christ to Israel. That's what he said. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now turn to John chapter number 1 with me. Let's compare some scripture with some scripture. That's how we find out a meaning of something, right? When you're studying your gospels, there are 4 gospel accounts. It would do you well to know what you're studying. If it's in another gospel, to go back and look at that, you know what you get? You get a little bit clearer picture, don't you? You might get something in the book of John about the same account that you didn't get in the book of Matthew, and vice versa. If it's in all 4 of them, study all 4 of them. That's comparing scripture with scripture. If you're not careful, you get to grabbing verses, and you know what you'll have? You'll have a private interpretation.
That's right.
It'll be yours. And if you squawk it loud enough and holler loud enough, somebody else will get in behind you, but it's still your private interpretation. But when you compare Scripture with Scripture and see it throughout and let God say what He says, we can get some sound doctrine, can't we? So look here. John chapter number 1, verse number 29. Now, we hear this verse quoted a lot. We know this verse. Man, it's a good verse. Look what it says. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now look at verse number 30. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. What John said right there was, this is the one I was telling you about back in Matthew chapter number 3. When I said that there's one coming after me that's mightier than I, and he was laying them down and telling them, you better repent, there's one coming. What he said right here is, that's him. That's Jesus Christ. And he said in verse number 31 that he did it that Christ may be made manifest to Israel. You know what John the Baptist was? He was the forerunner.
Yep.
That's what the Bible calls him. He was the forerunner. To make manifest means to be made evident or clearly shown. John the Baptist was that one. He was telling, there's somebody coming, there's somebody coming, you better repent, there's somebody coming. And he was baptizing for repentance. And when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, there he is right there, the one that I've been telling you about. And at that point, John began to fade off the scene, didn't he? He was the forerunner. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Let me show you something that's kind of interesting. You know why you read a King James Bible? Because it's the Bible. This is. That's why we don't mess with them other ones. If you take something that's perfect and change a word, it is no longer perfect. Now, that ain't theology. That's just good old common sense. Amen. If you got that roast cooked up perfect and you add another spice to it, it ain't perfect no more. Now, we're going to wolf her down, amen, but you had it perfect. Leave it alone. Look here in Mark chapter number 1. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now that verse number 2, that verse starts off and says, as it is written in the prophets. How many prophets are prophets? It's more than one, right? It might be 17, but it's at least 2, right? That S makes it plural. It's at least 2. A lot of your other versions of the Bible, they change that. They change it. And they say, as is written in the prophet Isaiah. But you know what? That forerunner is prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 40, but he's prophesied of in Malachi chapter 3 too. Now this is tied in with John, right? He's saying one's coming, repentance, he's coming. Well, who's coming? The one, the Messiah, right? Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Let's look at this one second. It won't take me just a second. I think it's very good. And it's why you have to be careful about changing words. And some people say, well, I don't read those Bibles. I just study them some to help me get a clear understanding. You are muddying the waters is what you're doing. If you're taking something that's not perfect and trying to glean information from it. So, the verse says, as it's spoken of in prophets, Isaiah chapter 40, we know one of them is very, very well known scripture, right? Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, behold, I will send my messenger, and that's John the Baptist, right? One crying in the wilderness, and he shall prepare the way before me. Before me, right? So, whoever is writing this, it's the one that he's preparing the way for. Isn't that what it says? I believe that's what it says. It says, behold, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Right? So whoever's writing this is the one that John the Baptist is preparing the way for. Look at the end of that verse. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Who's writing that verse? God Almighty. Who was Jesus Christ when he was here in the flesh on this earth? He was God Almighty. Now, those other versions left that Isaiah in there, but they cut that verse out. You wouldn't know to dig for another one, would you? You think that was an accident? I don't believe it was. I believe it was on purpose. First baptism, baptism of Israel to Moses. The second baptism, John's baptism to manifest Christ to Israel. Now turn to Matthew chapter number 20. This is the baptism of Christ's death on the cross. Matthew chapter number 20. The baptism of Christ's death on the cross. Look at Matthew chapter number 20. Look at verse number 22. The Bible says, but Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now he's done been baptized in the water, right? He's talking about something else here. Oh, what's he talking about? They say unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand or my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. He said, look, he said, you are going to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. What's he talking about? He's talking about the baptism of his death on the cross. In the Old Testament, great suffering, agonizing many times was mentioned of as being in the deep. Now, if you're in the deep, where are you? You was up under the water, ain't you? Turn to Psalm chapter 88 with me. Psalm chapter number 88. The book of Psalms, chapter 88. Jesus said, you're going to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. Now, they didn't all die on a cross, I believe, but they all suffered. They all died for his name's sake. Look at Psalms 88, verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave. This man's got some troubles, ain't he? He's in a bind, ain't he? He's talking about in the grave and down in the pit, just great agony, great suffering. Look what he says, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in what? In the deeps. This suffering, this agonizing, God calls the deeps. Turn to Jonah. Flip over a little bit to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 2. You got Joel and Amos and Obadiah, then you'll have Jonah. And we know Jonah spent a little bit of time in the belly of the whale. That ain't the place you want to be. I ain't never been there. But it sounds like an awful place, isn't it? If you wind up in the belly of the whale, man, you in trouble. You in a tight spot. If you find yourself in the belly, literal, physical belly of a whale. And look what Jonah said about it in Jonah chapter number 2. Look what he said here. Jonah chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Matthew chapter 20, I believe it is, tells us it's a whale. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea. Now, he was in the actual physical deeps, wasn't he? What he was up under that water, man. Know what he was in agony. He was in trouble. So that's what Christ was telling his converts, this baptism. He said, you're going to be baptized with it. It's agony, it's suffering, it's death, it's great suffering. Christ experienced great suffering and death on the cross at Calvary. And he called it in Matthew chapter 20 a baptism. He said, that's the baptism I'm baptized with. Had nothing to do with water, didn't it? Nothing. He was hanging on the cross. Matter of fact, he was hanging on the cross. He said, I thirst. Well, no water around, was it? It's great suffering. So where do you and I fit into this? 2023, soon to be 2024. Ain't that something? 2024. Wow. Some of y'all getting old, amen? So where do we as 21st century American born again Bible-believing Christians, where do we fit into this? Turn to Romans chapter 6 and let me show you. Romans chapter number 6. We just read this yesterday in our daily reading. And this is one of those places where if you don't let God say what He says, there's some people that have false doctrine will back you in a corner and beat you down, and you'll do it yourself with your own mouth. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? And your average Baptist, whether it be an independent Baptist, a Southern Baptist, Free Will Baptist, I don't know a lot of Free Will Baptists, but I have all idea, they understand that you're saved by grace and faith in Jesus Christ. They get that, right? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. They get that. They understand that. But somebody, they read this passage of Scripture, and in their mind, they hear baptism, they're thinking water, 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 and they say, well, there you go. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? And they say, well, it's just, you know, they just baptize you in water, and it's showing that you died in Christ, and they raise you up. So that's what, water's not in this chapter. So you're talking to a Church of Christ man. Who are you talking to? And you say, look, salvation is by grace through faith. And that man says, you got to be baptized in water to go to heaven. And you say, no, you don't. He says, yes, you does. He takes you to this verse. And you're thinking baptism. And that water is putting you, if it's water, where's it putting you? Verse number 2. Baptized into Jesus Christ. If that means water, that water baptism puts you into Christ. Right. You know what that is? That's not right. You with your, and I with our own mouth have just proved that man's heresy right. Because we didn't rightly divide the Scripture. If baptism always means water, look at verse 3. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. It's not talking about water. We're going to see in a little bit, when you believe on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes you into Christ. That's how you get in. Not the water. Man, thank God for the water. That's telling this whole world that something's different. Somebody will come to watch a grandbaby get baptized in water that won't come for nothing else. You know what that is? It's a good testimony for you that something's taking place, and it's a good way to reach people for Jesus Christ. But that ain't salvation. Every time we read baptism in the Bible, it's not water, is it? Water's not found in Romans chapter. If you don't remember nothing else, but Romans chapter 6 ain't the water, you'll do all right. So the third baptism is the baptism of Christ's death on the cross. That the believer is dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ, is what the Scripture says. He died, and we believed on Him, we are dead unto sin. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless what? I live, man. I've been crucified. I've died, but I'm still here and I'm still alive. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know what you are? You are a strange creature. Because you have eternal life, but that thing you walk around in is dead as a saltfish, man. This thing right here. That thing's going to get older and sicker, and it's going to hurt more. And if the Lord tarries, that thing's going to die. And going to be put in the ground. But you, what you are, you know what you're going to do? You really going to be living then. This thing ain't going to hold you down no more, is it? No, this old body does. It holds you down. According to what the Bible says, you want to be spiritual. You just can't because this old flesh interferes with you. The baptism of Christ's death on the cross, number 3. Number 4, turn to Acts chapter 2. And this is one that the water dogs, them old Church of Christ boys, they running this thing. They got a circuit they run. It's about 5 or 6 scriptures. And they'll run you around that circuit, and when they run out, they don't realize they run out. They just start back over. They're all NASCAR fans, amen? They won't even watch the road courses. Take a right turn, that don't count. They'll run that circuit, run that rabbit. That's what they do. Yeah, watch a bear in a pen, you know what he does? He walks that perimeter. You watch a dog in a fence that stays in the fence, he's got a path wore around that fence, don't he? Why? He's running that circuit, man. Look here in Acts chapter number 2. Let's see what the Bible says about it, right? Because people will tell you, well, yeah, you got to believe in Jesus Christ, and then you got to be baptized in water, or else you can't make heaven your home. So look here in verse number 37. Acts 2, verse number 37. The Bible says, now when they heard this is these men, all nations, and Peter's preaching to them, and this old Peter, and he denied the Lord, but he got right, and he is scalding the hog right here now. He's shucking the corn. You hear me? Look what he says, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And that's going to be very important. You see that? It says, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's very important. We're going to look and see why that's so important. That's why every word in your Bible is important. We do. You can read over that thing 1,000 times, but they're the words of God and they're important. Look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Say, well, there you go. In order to be saved, you got to be baptized in water. Now, this book of Acts, we're transitioning, right? We're transitioning from Jesus Christ being here and trying to bring the kingdom in. He's crucified. He's been raised. And we're transitioning from that dispensation to the dispensation that we're in now. Grace by faith in Jesus Christ. So there's going to be some things here that were in effect one time that's gone away. God's transitioning. He's leading us, right? Okay, Peter's baptism right here is to the nation Israel for the remission of the sins of rejecting and crucifying Jesus Christ. That's what this baptism is. It's not for salvation. This is not the biblical means of salvation. What's the biblical means right now of salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that, right? So how do we know that? Because we read the scriptures and we study. Salvation. You got a son, you got a daughter, so therefore you're going to believe on Jesus Christ and get saved for them. Don't work that way, does it? It's impossible. What's salvation? It's personal. You are the only person you can get saved for. Now, there's things we can do, right? That's why we come to church and bring them to church. But as far as being saved, you are the only person you can be saved for. The first thing is, this baptism he's speaking about is not to individuals, it's to an entire nation. Look at Acts 2 and verse number 2. Go back to verse number 2 with me. Same chapter, Acts 2 and 2. That is not what I'm looking for. Verse 5. 2 and 5. The Bible says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Devout men, they're all Jews, right? From scattered out all over the world, right? Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. Who's he speaking to? The Jews, right? Look at verse number 22. In verse number 22, he said, ye men of where? Israel. He's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to a nation. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The very next verse said, now when they heard this, When he spoke that nation Israel, and he said, you know that Jesus Christ, he's Lord, he's God, he's the Messiah, he's the Savior, and Israel, ye have crucified him. When they heard that, the very next verse says, when they heard this, and they went on to say, we've crucified him as a nation, the Jewish race, what do we do? That's not how you got saved. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't you? So they asked a question. Look here in verse number 37. They asked a question at the end of verse 37. It says, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were responsible for the death of the Messiah, and these men, these Jews, said, what shall we do? Now hold your place here and turn to Acts chapter 16. Let's compare some scripture with some scripture. Acts chapter, and everybody knows where I'm going. It's not a hidden thing, right? Acts chapter 16. Look at verse number. Wow, time is flying. Look at verse number 30. So here's the Philippian jailer, right? He's done beat Paul and Silas down, and they're singing hymns at midnight and the earthquake and everything's open. Look at verse number 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now look at Acts 2 and 37. Look right there with me. Acts 2 and 37. End of that verse. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's baptism was we do. Right? What's the Philippian jailer? What must I do to what? Be saved. It's not the same, is it? It's different, isn't it? Something that's different. Listen to me. It cannot be the same. We are all individuals in here. We're all a little bit different, but you know what? We cannot be the same. That BF picked that guitar and all that stuff made me so mad. We both born again, but we're individuals. We're not the same, are we? That Acts chapter 2, that's Peter's baptism for the nation Israel because they had crucified Christ. That water baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Look back in Acts chapter 16. Let's look and see what the rest of it. Now, those men said, sirs, what shall we do? Peter said, you better get in the water. Look at this Philippian jailer. Look at verse number 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And men said, what should we do? We crucified the Messiah. Peter said, get in the water. That thing transitioned on. And Paul was raised up. And people began to be saved. And churches began to be established. And that man asked Paul, he said, what can I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that simple, isn't it? You know what, for sake of time, the fifth one is the Gentile believer's water baptism. That's in Acts chapter number 10. Go back and read it. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and they were baptized in water. Water baptism can never save your soul. It comes after salvation, not for salvation. We know that, but that's in Acts chapter number 10. Go back and read that if you want to. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward change, a sign to the world that identifies you as having been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Read 1 Peter chapter number 3. It says, it's like unto, it's a figure, baptism does save us. It calls it a figure. It's a similitude, it's comparing things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Remember we talking about back in Romans chapter 6, how there was no water in Romans chapter number 6. And we were baptized into Christ. That baptism put us in Jesus Christ. Look at, what did I say, Romans? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the sixth baptism. It is the saving baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13. The Bible says, for by one Spirit, if you have a King James Bible, that Spirit should have a capital S. That denotes that being the Holy Spirit. Not a spirit of man, not an evil spirit, not a spirit of an animal. Four types of spirit in your Bible. The Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you believe on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. It ain't water. It ain't the preacher. It is the Holy Spirit. When you believe you are baptized into the body of Christ, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the head of the body. You and I are the members. And friend, once you get in, you ain't getting out. You can't rescind your membership. You can't change. You can live like the devil all you want to, but if you've been born again by the grace of God, you'll always be a child of the King. That's why we live our life in a way to glorify God, not bring shame to Him. That's why we do what we do. Sixth baptism is the saving baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 30 through 32 talks about being placed in the body of Christ. One Spirit, one Lord, one body. That body we're baptized into. By Holy Spirit, the sixth baptism, it's the saving baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think we got time. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 again. Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. Turn to Matthew chapter number 3. Now we read this scripture earlier, one of them. Matthew chapter number 3. Let's read verse number 12 with it. Verse number 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The wheat he's going to gather in, the chaff's going to get burned up. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost or with fire. Right, let me let you in on something. Them charismatics will tell you, you want the fire of God on you. And I understand there's some it's a fire shut up in my bones, right? You know, we understand that, want to serve God. But you don't want the fire of God on you, friend. The seventh baptism is the baptism of eternal damnation in the lake of fire. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, the only way you get that is being born again by the grace of God. If you don't have that baptism of the Holy Ghost and you die, you are going to get the baptism of fire. You are going to go to hell until hell or death is caught up and cast into the lake of fire, and there you will remain forever. That's Revelation chapter number 20. You can read that. How many baptisms we got? Seven. I got some notes. If you have any questions, I can run these notes off for you, some scripture references. Went through it quickly, but I hope you can see that every time you read baptism, it does not mean water. Don't get drawn into that trap. Read the Bible. Let God say what He wants to say. Compare scripture with scripture. Let the Holy Ghost lead and guide in your life. Ask some questions if you need to. If you want light, listen to what I'm telling you. God will always give you light. If you answer the light He gives you, He will give you more light. If you reject the light He gives you, it can turn into lightning. It'll tear your life up. Seven baptisms. Danny Ray, pray for us, brother.